Oh, yeah.
Is Chris ready?
Yeah, he was ready the whole time.
I was stalling for Chris. Has he been listening to this? Oh, poor Chris Landry.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Hey, Chris, we'll bring him right in. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, did you have a particular candy growing up that you loved?
No, not really. I was a deprived kid. We didn't have candies when I was growing up. You know, we had to walk backwards through snow up a hill, and they didn't allow us candy. It really, not really.
We are going to be down at the NFL meetings next week because it's conveniently right next to spring training. And obviously the top thing on the docket, and Chris, I know we generally talk about players and X's and O's with you, but I know you can talk about anything football related. Are you hearing the same thing we're hearing, that it's almost at this point a foregone conclusion that the Raiders relocation will be approved next week?
Yes, because, you know, there's no other option. I mean, there's not been any movement at any point in time from the Bay Area to try to keep the Raiders. I mean, there's maybe been some lip service about ideas, but not even anything for them to consider. And there's really no other consideration other than to stay in a quite frankly bad situation. I can't speak for everyone, but I certainly, as an old time football guy, just hate the thought of, you know, not having the Oakland Raiders. That's just there's really not anything, any other option out there, and there certainly is one in Las Vegas. I think there's some resistance to it by some owners, but they realize now there's really no other option. And when money's involved, money always wins. And I think who the owner is and how they structure it's important. But, you know, I say this, even if this falls through, what are the other options? Where are the, where's the plan in Oakland or in anything in that Bay Area to keep them? I mean, there is none. It's not like, you know, San Diego trying to do something to keep the Chargers, or St. Louis putting a plan together to keep the Rams, which was never going to happen, but at least they tried. There's really nothing in the works and hasn't been through this whole process.
You know, and there's precedent for this when you talk about the Baltimore Colts that went to Indianapolis, then Baltimore gets a team with the Ravens, also Cleveland leaving and them getting an expansion team. One thing that I've heard that really kind of put me back on my heels is that one of the things that is attractive to NFL owners, if the Raiders do leave, is that they will be able to use Oakland as kind of a bait city, much like they used L.A. for years, to get other teams the better ability to get their own stadiums. We've seen this a lot in the NBA. Now, Chris, I know I can pretty much think any other city that lost their NFL team would thirst and salivate over a replacement team. But the thought process would be, if they were going to do that in Oakland, Mark Davis has taken the Raiders to Vegas. I got a feeling most Oakland NFL fans would rather have no team than have an NFL team there that's not named the Raiders.
Well, right. I don't think there. I mean, Oakland's not a. I mean, they're not a viable city for an NFL team, or else they would be doing something to keep them. So no, they're not. Oakland won't be able to be used as bait. Those other cities were had viable opportunities and put things together. It took a while for Baltimore to get into that mix, but, you know, Houston as an example, turn right around, and I was part of that. We left Houston, and you know, it was a problem between the mayor and the owner, and Oakland, you know, certainly the whole Silicon Valley is very intriguing, but there's, you know, apparently no money in the city, no interest level. If they're not willing to do it, because I can tell you they would, Mark Davis, the league, would prefer to stay in the Oakland area. Oakland loses the Raiders, they're not seeing another team. You can close the door on that. I mean, there is no chance of that.
Well, see, Chris, I think that's kind of an interesting statement by you, because when you look at the size of the market, it is bigger and it is more lucrative than Las Vegas. You know, we're not talking about Los Angeles here. It's better than Las Vegas. It's better than San Diego. San Diego obviously had a team there for years. So to me, this is I can't figure out if it's because there isn't enough money in Oakland, which just is kind of mind blowing to me, or if it really comes down to the fact that there hasn't been opposition that have been able to come up with a viable plan. And I don't know if Mayor Libby Schaaf really cares one way or the other if the Raiders are there or not.
Right. And listen, there's always a chance somebody else gets voted into office, and you know there's money in the whole Silicon Valley area. I mean,
Right.
there's money, but just because there's money, apparently there's no one interest in putting it in football, which is what we're talking about. So no, I don't see it happening. I think it would be unfortunate, but to me, I think the league anyway looks at Oakland as, the Raider city, not a, we're gonna go there. Certainly there'll be leverage, but there'll be
Right.
leverage from other cities. But I don't see Oakland being, now listen, they're not above using leverage anywhere, anytime. But in terms of, I'm just saying, in terms of the people that think, well, we're not gonna fool with the Raiders, we'll get another team. I mean, I think that is a pipe dream.
Chris Landry's with us on the drive. Chris, the quarterback market this offseason has been kind of nuts. And putting Mike Glennon aside as getting $15 million to be a starter, let's talk about the backup market. Geno Smith got a job. You're hearing talks that the Saints might be interested in at least contacting Johnny Manziel, Josh McCown, some of these names out there. Colin Kaepernick, of course, has not gotten a call from anyone. And we know the political elements that go into that. But putting that aside, he showed a big statistical improvement under Chip Kelly, especially in the final couple of games of the season. In what you've been able to see, is there truth to the idea out there that he is simply not good enough to even be a backup in the NFL?
No, I think he's capable of being a backup. The problem is he is a backup that you'd have to probably change your offense for. Well, who's going to change your offense for a backup quarterback? I think he would make sense in Carolina as a backup to Cam Newton.
What about Seattle?
No,
Not a...
I don't necessarily see that. I wouldn't close the door on it, but I think there are better options out there. But yeah, listen, I think people are making more out of this than is really there. First of all, Johnny Manziel's not being pursued by the Saints. Jay Cutler's still out there. I know Geno Smith got a job. There's a lot of players that are going to get jobs that don't have one yet. The market in free agency, as it always is after that first week, is at that point it's a buyer's market. So these folks are really not a priority that are out there right now, and as they fill needs or don't through the draft, then they'll kind of filter in with those guys. I expect Colin Kaepernick to be on a roster, but I don't think he's a difference maker, and I would reject him at least as a passer just on a pure football standpoint. Now, am I saying that there are people in the league that are, were not offended by that? Yeah, I think that by his whole situation, I personally was not. I don't
right,
agree
but
with
it's
him.
No secret that that didn't sit well with a lot of NFL
Well, yeah,
front
but
offices.
The point is, and I made this point, if Aaron Rodgers went down and took a knee on the 50-yard line and draped himself in a North Korean flag, 32 teams would want to hire him. Okay,
right.
It is about football. I mean, you're dealing with a guy that's not that big of a deal football wise as people want to make him, and why deal with the headache? Why deal with the circus of a Tim Tebow when he's not that good of a football player? That's the point. If it's strictly, football, he was a better passer, he'd have a job. I don't care what he did. I mean, why does, look, Ray Rice didn't find a job. We know why. Okay. Zeke Elliott has got a job, okay? And well, we don't have a video to kind of show what happened. Bottom line is Zeke Elliott's going to have a job in the league. He's a great running back. Ray Rice is not a great running back anymore. So there's a saying, and there's some lines you can't cross. I mean, legally, and you're not going to be able to overcome certain things. But for the most part, there's a saying in this league. It's problem versus production. When the production is much greater than the problem, you deal with the problem because the production is worthwhile. When the problem is greater than the production, well, then what's the headache for? So my point is, to me, Colin Kaepernick wouldn't be a headache off the field. My owner didn't want him, You know, nothing I could do. But there's no football people in the league going to their owner saying, man, we really could use this guy. This guy could really help us. None. I mean, it's you know, no one's really discussing Colin Kaepernick in football. I mean, it's not as good as people think. Yes, he was a quarterback on a team that went to a Super Bowl. But it wasn't mainly him, okay? It was very unlike other, you know, quarterbacks. I think he has some talent. I think he's deficient as a passer, significantly. But I think he has a role for certain offenses. And I said the one that is the best fit would be Carolina. Now, that's a case where that owner might not want him. And that could be a case where you can say, you know what, he might be a help as a backup there, and maybe the owner doesn't want him. I'm not saying he does or doesn't. I'm just saying that, you know, he wouldn't be as, you know, as good of a football fit as people are making it out to be.
Chris Landry joining us this morning on KHTK. Now, Chris, I find that interesting what you said. You said the problem versus production part. The reality of the matter is whether or not Colin Kaepernick is a starting quarterback in this league, if he has that talent, if the league's changed too much to where it doesn't really fit him. I mean, you've got Jim Harbaugh who is endorsing him and doesn't have to at this point. So that says something. But I know for a fact he's better than Geno Smith. And I have a sneaky suspicion that even Johnny Manziel is going to have a job in the NFL this season, which is crazy to me as well. So you say problem versus production, but then at the same time, he could be a backup quarterback in this league and a pretty solid one at that if someone were to go down, more than most backup quarterbacks in this league. So really, to me, it all comes down to the fact that owners are scared over the whole protest.
Well, I can't speak for that. I don't know if they are or not. Jay Cutler doesn't have a job, but he's certainly a better passer and a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. You know, the whole Geno Smith hasn't played a lot of football. Some people think he has potential. I don't agree. Johnny Manziel's not going to be playing football this year. Okay, so, you know, again, if we're having this discussion in August and he doesn't have a job, it's a story. It's not a story right now. I mean,
right.
I know it's, you know, people want to make it one. It's not a story in football.
Chris Landry joining us. Last thing for you, Chris. When you look at these mock drafts, you got to get a Niners question.
Which I don't. Which is a complete waste of time.
The difference between and the difference between you and me is that I'm stupid enough to where I need to rely on other people to tell me who's going where. But then I'm always disappointed because half of it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Now I see Solomon Thomas popping up on a lot of these drafts for the 49ers at number two, and that's about the fourth or fifth guy, whether Trubisky, Watson, or anyone else, even Leonard Fournette in one that I've seen. Could you see the 49ers taking a third Pac-12 defensive lineman in a row in 3 years?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at my website. He's the third best player on my board. You know, all these mock drafts, these are not people that are football people or scouts. They're just, you know, what they hear, the latest, you know, throw something out there and
right.
Let's get more clicks today. Two best players in the draft, in my opinion, are Myles Garrett and Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen has, in some teams' eyes, some medical problems with their shoulders. So if you're one of those, to me, Solomon Thomas is in the mix of, you know, third best player in the draft. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The top of this draft is not as strong as most years. So, you know, Solomon Thomas, even Myles Garrett, probably third, fourth, fifth best players in most drafts. That's not most drafts. This is this draft. We can't draft anything other than what's available. So I absolutely could see it. Defensive line, you can never have enough of those guys. And I think that's a great way to build a defense. There's some really good players in the secondary, but you're going to see some safeties and corners go really high that in normal years wouldn't go as high. Why? You don't have the elite quarterback. You don't have the elite tackle. You know, you've got a couple of good receivers, but not the elite one. So I absolutely could see it in this draft, him going to. It would make a lot of sense. Would it make the most sense? That's debatable, but I think he's an outstanding player in this draft.
Chris, as always, let everybody know where they can read. And I'm on LandryFootball.com right now. All your different grades, your horizontal draft, everything that's going on.
Well, we got, and of course, we got a discount. We sent it out to you guys that we decided to put something special up for folks as they're getting excited about the draft. 50% off if they sign up between now and before April 1st. Use the code NFL Draft. We've got the horizontal draft board is the top overall players. We've got all the first round grades up. We're working on the second round grades for everyone, and we've got all the draft boards up. We're putting the scouting reports with them. We've got all the positional draft boards. So it's not like the typical stuff that you read where you have the top five guys at a position. Well, what good does that do if it doesn't tell you how many of those guys are immediate starters, potential starters, and whatnot? So we separate it for you so you know where the value is, not, you know, just projecting where they're going to go, which doesn't mean a whole lot. It's about how good are they and what can they do at the next level. So check it out. Follow us on Twitter at Landry Football for all the latest. We think you'll love it. But remember, the code NFL Draft will get you the big discount, 50% off. But you got to get it done before April Fool's Day.
Always appreciate your time, Chris.
Have a good weekend, guys. Right.
Thanks,
take care.
You too,
take
Chris. Care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Chris Landry, check that out at LandryFootball.com. Before we break and get to Sam Amick next, want to remind you, you know, last weekend you had the big college basketball out at Golden One Center. There's still some basketball going on
basketball.
This week. The big, the March Madness.
Yeah, it's a real big one.
You've got the local games going on. I should say local, statewide, including not just Wood Creek and Bishop Montgomery. You've also got McClatchy, the girls versus Windward in L.A. Now, here's the thing. So we know McClatchy. McClatchy, just so you know, here's some sample alumnuses from McClatchy. You've got Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. All right. You've got California Chief Justice Tani Cantil. I can't say her last name. I'm reading this. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, the late, great Bob Matsui, former congressman, and Joan Didion, the author. So McClatchy's a historic school. Here's my point. Windward coming in here, 2 miles from the beach, right next to UCLA. The cost to attend Windward is $37,245 a year.
This is high school?
High school, 37 grand a year.
What division is this?
This is Division One. So the McClatchy girls are taking
How many of those kids on that roster you think pay their tuition?
None.
As opposed to their parents? Oh, you're talking scholarships.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
See, this is crazy, though, for Division One in California, because we were in Division Five, and it's all private schools, and it was all people that were under scholarship.
Well, that's the way it used to be. Katie, now Modoc is in, like, Division Six or something. They even have, like, Division Seven for some of those smaller schools.
To your point about scholarships, 72% of the teachers at Windward have master's degrees. And the percentage of students in 2015 that went on to attend four-year colleges?
99.9.
100%.
Yeah.
So you've got stinky, snotty, snobby, cheaty Windward with their scholarships. They're bribing these players against our girls, the McClatchy Lions. So go out there and beat some ass, McClatchy. Do that Friday. That's tonight, 6 p.m. And you can see it also on Comcast. But go out there and cheer on the McClatchy girls and also
Friday
the Wood Creek
boys. Friday is tonight.
That's right. Yeah. I said Friday, and then I said tonight.
No, you're right. It absolutely is tonight.
Wood Creek takes on Bishop Montgomery tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Comcast. You going to say something, Nate? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. We'll take a break. Come back with Sam. Sam Amick, USA Today on the Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.